Biafra, we have emerged triumphant from all our foes. Through the crucible unscathed, we passed victorious. Our trumpets
wonderful people, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are in the world, and great Biafrans, I must mention, because I don't want some people to be surprised about saying ladies and gentlemen, but wherever you are, because there are even boys and girls listening, you're welcome to Radio Biafra. This is a special edition of Radio Biafra coming to you this evening on this 22nd of May in the year of our Lord 2013. I'm on Nnamdi Kanu at the studios of Radio Biafra here in London this evening. And we're welcoming you wherever you are in the world. We're saying good morning, good afternoon, good day, good night. Even those who are waking up from sleep, as some people are waking up from sleep, some are even planning to go to sleep. Thank you for joining us once again. And we're delighted to have you every evening, 7 p.m. London time. You can get Radio Biafra via any of our web portals, which is www.radiobiafra.co. or RadioBiafraLondon.com or RadioBiafraLondonOnline.com. If all else fails, please, for those of you with computers, especially with laptops and any other device, please go to BelieHumanRights.org. BelieHumanRights.org or IndigenousPeopleOfBiafra.org. IndigenousPeopleOfBiafra.org. On any of these platforms, you should be able to receive Radio Biafra. The reason why I said today is a special program is because this is not a live broadcast. You remember at Radio Biafra, we pledge not to lie to our listeners. This is not a live program. You will not be able to phone in, but you are more than welcome to listen to what we have for you this evening, because listening to Radio Biafra is an enlightenment, is an educational series. You should be able to learn quite a lot from it, because each thing that we do, every day that we wake up, morning, noon, and night, we are geared towards fighting for Biafra. Radio Biafra will be coming from Israel tomorrow. Radio Biafra will be broadcasting from Israel tomorrow. The numbers through which you can contact Radio Biafra on will be advertised on the Facebook page by tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow afternoon, the number will be advertised. So we're advising you, please, if you want to contact Radio Biafra in Israel, please, the number to call will be on Facebook. As we promised, wherever we are invited to go by Biafrans, we go there to see them. We want to make sure that our brothers and our sisters in Israel united, focused, and fighting towards a particular cause. But before I go any further, I am happy to say that we have with us in the studio today a lady of very indomitable spirit who's been fighting and fighting very diligently for Biafra, even for people that she doesn't know, people that she feels anecdotally may be connected to her son. Please, Carol Monday is here with us. Say hello to our wonderful listeners before we proceed, please.
Hello to all the world. Good morning or good night.
Or good afternoon.
Oh, we see.
Or
in
good
the Caribbean
day.
They say good night for good evening.
Is that what they say?
Yeah.
In the Caribbean?
Yeah, so descendants of you, aren't they?
Yeah, some of them are, especially those from Haiti. People from Haiti come from where I come from, people from Jamaica as well. In fact, how you know where Igbo people are in the Caribbean is if you go to pockets of resistance where people are most stubborn. It's yes, invariably, because we are very stubborn people, invariably that is they have the extraction, they have our stock, because we're very proud people, a very proud race, together with our cousins, the Ibibios. Because for some of the people, they don't know that the word Ibibio means little Igbo, like Ibonta. It doesn't mean they are smaller. It means that they are your people as well. The same way that you have greater or lower and all other descriptions of that nature. We are welcoming you wherever you are in the world. You will not be able to join us on Skype or on phone today, but we all the same, our program is packed. We are here to bring you news, views, analysis, and commentaries regarding how we're going to get Biafra. Radio Biafra is a one-issue radio station, unapologetically. The only thing we talk about is Biafra, morning, noon, and night. Anything else is irrelevant. If you talk about anything else that isn't Biafra, it is absolutely, absolutely irrelevant. So we are begging you, we are asking you, we are pleading with you, we are saying, in whatever way you find yourself, in whatever ramification, in whatever situation you find yourself, always know that Biafra is there for you. Biafra is our only hope. And we at Radio Biafra, the editorial board at Radio Biafra, will not relent. Will not relent until Biafra is gotten. That is why we exist. That is why we are here. We are, especially this evening, we'll be having a look at the role that women has to play in this struggle. Because the reason why Radio Biafra is going forward and functioning is because we had Wanda Amarachi with us. If not for the presence of Wanda Amarachi, the editorial board of Radio Biafra, I'm sure, would have collapsed way before now. So that is the binding influence that women can bring to this very struggle. So we encourage you to allow your daughters, allow your wives to play an active role in this struggle. That will make us even become more of a family. The role of women in this struggle cannot be overestimated. So it is important that you allow them to participate in what we are doing, that you allow them to mix with each other, that you allow them to interact freely to bring about Biafra in truth and honesty in the not too distant future. Our headlines this evening, our principal headline this evening, is that the body of Chinua Achebe, we gather, has now arrived in Awka. It came into Abuja yesterday. They flew into Abuja yesterday. And again, worryingly for some of us, the coffin was covered with green, white, green once again. We commend the family for limiting the involvement of the Nigerian government. The headline we're bringing you is that Achebe's body has now made it into Biafra land from Abuja. We didn't want to report it while it was an enemy territory. He has now been received in Awka. And as we speak to you, we gather that events went very well as it was intended. When the body arrived at Enugu, hundreds of people attended. We are commending the family for the low-key nature of the way they are handling it. It is better we celebrate somebody's achievements in life, not just in death. We cannot thank them enough for the way they have handled everything that's been going on so far. We also especially thank those who made it possible, who went to the airport to receive the body of our son, a literary icon, a legend, a free thinker, a man who is not afraid to speak the truth, a man who rejected money and accolade in defense of the honor of his people. Chinua Achebe is a man of integrity par excellence. We don't know if we can ever have his likes again. The only gratitude that we owe to this very man is to ensure that we accomplish Biafra in truth and honesty. The book he left for us, There Was a Country, is a guide. It is a map. It is a torchlight guiding us all the way through until we get to the kingdom of God called Biafra. We must not relent in our pursuit. The family of Chinua Achebe should be commended for the way they handled it. They limited the dignitaries, the amount of buffoons, the amount of idiots, the amount of Hausa agents milling around the airport. They told them, no, we don't want you here. That is not what our brother, our father, our uncle would have wanted. We commend Achebe. He was an intellectual, both in life and in death. An intellectual means somebody who holds on tenaciously to a belief well-founded on principle, on reason, and on philosophy, and holds on to it till death, not jettison it, not abandon it, because you've seen a bottle of cold gouda or a lump of meat. He is a man of honor, of integrity. We celebrate him. We celebrated him both in life and now in death. Things Fall Apart remains for me. Of course, some people say the arrow of God is even more compelling than Things Fall Apart. But for me, Things Fall Apart remains the ultimate. We'll be able to delve into that a little bit later. We'll be trying to find out from Carol. She says she's been watching the... I don't know if she's watched it already, but somebody sent Things Fall Apart to her, the movie, to ask her what her understanding of the very beautiful culture, the ancient culture of the Igbo people is like. Through the lens of Things Fall Apart. We are bringing you also news this evening that Boko Haram leaders have basically opened a Facebook profile. The leader of the terrorist Islamic sect, the so-called Imam Abubakar Shekau, has opened a Facebook page where he communicates and exchanges messages with his friends. In his Facebook page, Shekau has denied that Boko Haram collected any ransom to free Al-Haji Shettima Monguno, the octogenarian former minister of petroleum that was kidnapped by the sect last month. Also, as the emergency rule declared in some states, begins to bite very hard, Shekau posted some photos of persons suspected to be his Islamic fighters. It is rather surprising that Shekau, whose group believe that Western education is haram, with the meaning of Boko Haram, is now benefiting from social media. That is the hypocrisy of the Hausa Fulani people that makes me very, very sick. They are saying that Boko Haram means no to Western education. They don't want anything to do with the Western world. But here he is on Facebook. What he's doing on Facebook, only God knows. These are the type of people, the hypocrisy, we cannot blame him. That was how Nigeria was founded. Nigeria was founded on a bed of lies, and lies has followed everything that the country has done since its inception. It is rather very sad that in an age of hypocrisy in Nigeria, even terrorists, even people who are sworn enemies of the Western way of doing things, have now gone back to embrace it. In total, it is rather very, very sad. We are also reporting to you this evening that there's been some kind of an altercation in Awka regarding a member of MASOP who was arrested and detained. They have given them ultimatum 24 hours to release him, or else nobody knows what or else means. Or else Nigeria will be ungovernable. We've been saying it now for the past 9.5 years. Or else nothing is happening. We'll be looking out to see if anything at all has changed in the course of this program this evening that we're bringing to you. We are also reporting this evening that a northern group, these are Hausa people, that they are planning to take Nigeria to international court. Now, there is sufficient evidence from our point of view in terms of human rights violations going on in the last 3 years. We didn't create the insurgency. This is what the North is saying. It may have been created by somebody. If this sect has been treated like many other sects that we've had in this country for many years, perhaps we will not be where we are now. The same angle Abdullahi is speaking. They are planning to... These are the people that massacred, killed, tortured, raped, and pillaged Biafra land, are now saying that they want to take the government of Nigeria to international court. And they will do it. These are Hausa people. What are we doing? This is the reason why we say that help is needed for us to do our work. If we are going to take Gowon to court, it will need the help of everybody listening to Radio Biafra this evening. If we are going to prosecute everybody that made sure that our people died in maximum numbers between 1966 and 1970, we must make sure that we pull all our resources out, we join hands together, emulate what people in Australia are doing, emulate what our brothers in Malaysia are now beginning to do, to make sure that we bring the perpetrators of criminality against our people to justice. If we don't do it, nobody can. If Radio Biafra editorial board does not pilot the effort to make sure that these people are brought to book, nobody will do it. We are in court already in Owerri. We took Nigeria to court. The case is coming up again for relisting on the 25th of June, for substantive hearing on the 25th of June. Now, who made that possible? We made it possible. Radio Biafra editorial board made that possible. At Radio Biafra, we say something and we do it. Let us not be confused. Let us not be distracted. Anything we say on this platform, we do it. Our talking point this evening will be, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to get more involved in the process of getting Biafra? What can we do to get our women more involved in the realization of Biafra in truth and honesty? Because at Radio Biafra, we believe in openness, in transparency, and the truth. This program coming to you now is not live. We repeat, it is not live. And we are telling you that because we cannot keep anything from our esteemed listeners. We have regard and respect for our listeners. We have regard and respect for the entire Biafran family, that we cannot cloak ourselves in lies, deceit, or propaganda. At Radio Biafra, everything you hear is the absolute impeccable truth. If you hear it anywhere else, you know that that is false. At Radio Biafra, we bring you the truth. Please, before we go any further, Carol, our great lead, he wasn't a leader, he was an intellectual, Chinua Achebe, a celebrated writer, and in the view of some of us, the father of African literature. He didn't get the Nobel Prize because of the hatred that the Europeans have towards the Igbo people. They didn't give him the Nobel Prize. We know that for sure. That's why he didn't get it. They gave it to other people who are playwrights and write poems, but not great storytellers. This man was larger than life. He was a very humble man. He has returned home. His body has now touched down from where he comes from. He will be laid to rest amongst his ancestors, amongst the sacred soil of Igboland from whence he came. And it is a pleasure that we lived in a generation that also encompassed this great man, this oracle, so to speak. I don't know if you've ever heard of Chinua Achebe before and what he meant, not just to our people, as a man, as a writer, but to the entire world in terms of the projection of African literature into the subconsciousness of the whole world.
Yes, actually, I've read some of his work. I wanted to say that in the British press, it was noted that he was a Nigerian writer that died. I think, you know, Achebe would be, I thought to myself when I read it, that the poor man would be turning in his grave. Because this is a time now that we need to represent this man. Otherwise, how will he ever get any rest? Nigeria has not taken just everything from you. It's even taking your celebrations now. The people that have done much for your people's race, they're taking that for that pride for you and saying, oh, yes, he's a Nigerian. But he's not. He's a Biafran. And I urge the family of this man to even to join us in this battle. These are the people that are strong. These are the people that, you know, have so much to say. And this is what we need to bring forward.
Yes, but in terms of your, which aspect, did you pick anything from what you read? What is it about? Did it give you a more detailed insight into the Igbo way of life? What was it about? If there is one thing,
the simplicity of their life, I think.
The simplicity of the life of the people. Okay.
It's not politics. You know, okay, there is a standard of politics within each village where they vote people upward, you know, on the things that you do. This is my understanding of. Mm-hmm. Things fall apart.
But in Things Fall Apart, did you witness any, was there anything at all within Things Fall Apart that would lead any discerning mind to think that this is a kind of a warmongering race or a group of people who are greedy.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're simple people. They just, you know, they're doing they having their you know, their lunches and their dinners, and they're having their customs, so to speak. I don't see war in them. You know, where are they? The people that make guns? Are they the people that have all these things? No, it doesn't say any of these things.
Yeah, but that is your understanding, and I'm very, very pleased for that. But if we look at we said this evening that we'll talk about interest, why you are attracted to what we're doing. We'll try and see if we can speak to one or two other volunteers as well, people who volunteer their time and their effort to make sure that the Biafran project sees the light of day, that what we are doing is receives the widest possible attention, is spread amongst as many people as possible. What would you say is the one singular, because people are asking all the time, what is it that led you to volunteer your services to serve Biafra, despite the fact that you're a white English woman? Why would you do that? Why have you decided to bring out yourself to do a piece of work that even some Biafrans are finding very difficult to do?
I think if you knew me personally, then you would know that I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist. The foods that I eat, I don't like GM foods. I don't eat certain meats because of the things that are done with the animals. All of these things, if you know me very well, that's the type of person that I am. I'm very principled in certain ways. And when I started to read on this read about Biafra, etc., when I started to follow into West Africa and the roots of my children, etc., and because I know quite a lot about slavery and I've lived in the Caribbean, so I'm quite aware of people that have come from a slave in heritage. But to me, I see that the people down there are still enslaved. The slavery still exists. They say there is no more slavery, that you've been emancipated. But that's lies. You haven't really been emancipated. So there's me thinking that, you know, the slaves are free and that black people are living amongst white people in harmony. But this is not true, because in they're tucked away down there in West Africa, still being enslaved by the rest of the world. And I don't like this. I don't like liars. In fact, no, I hate lying. I hate deceitful liars. I hate suffering, especially because of nonsense. Why are you suffering? Can the world not live together and share? What human would I be if I didn't help? What human am I that's going to stand and watch someone else suffer? What Christian am I to stand and let someone else suffer?
Let's try and take this call. Remember, there's somebody here. This is Radio Biafra. Please give us your name and where you're calling from.
Mazi Ndewo.
Ndewo, one number, and you know Nikuku. Now, Basuzi. And because Ndewo, because Kowara and your Mandine Genti. Because here one hanging ABC Napo.
Charles Okechukwu. United States, not born.
U.S. Ndewo, one number, Ndewo, amen. We are looking at the issue of Achebe, that his body made it back to our land safely yesterday, and he's being received in Awka as we speak. He was living in the United States before he departed, and now has been taken back to join his ancestors. What is the impact of of course, a lot has been written about him, about the great work that he did. How is his absence being interpreted or felt amongst the communities of both intellectuals and our people in the United States?
It would be surprising to let you know that I just came back from Nigeria. So I was in Nigeria for the past couple of months. So, and he's very much remembered in Nigeria. And in fact, I was part of the day of tributes and colloquium for Chinua Achebe that held at his high school, Alma Mater Government College, Umuahia. A lot of people turned out, and in fact, the song All Hail Biafra was there. It was played. And dignitaries.
So our tune that we play all the time, All Hail Biafra, was played during the colloquium at Government College Omoa.
Yes, it was. And the Bilia Human Rights Initiative, their leaders were there. The president was there. Engineer Amade was there. The secretary general was there. And the man in charge of the ICT was also there. And other officials were there.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. That's a very wonderful news to hear. In terms of your observation, you just said you came back. Of course, you went to Government College Omoa in Biafra land. You went to Nigeria and to Biafra. What is your assessment of the life of the people, given that you're somebody who's lived abroad for very many years? It's quite successful abroad. What is your take? What are you telling our people, especially those who don't go home, those who read about where we come from or view it from rose-tinted glasses? What message did you bring back to them in America about the condition of our people back home?
To be honest with you, I will give some credit to the present administration of Goodluck Jonathan. But Nigeria as a whole is an embarrassment. Why am I saying that Nigeria on the aggregate is an embarrassment? All the things that are happening in Nigeria can only happen in Nigeria. A place where in a house with seven tenants, you have seven generators. You have generators everywhere. They don't consider the health consequences of people emitting carbon monoxide all the time. And they have fortresses. Heat is killing people. There are somehow improvement on the power generation. Say, like in a day, you have 3 hours of light, but you don't know when they are going to bring light. You are unable to plan your life.
Uncertainty. And that is what kills economy all over the world. If the stock market here in London or the New York Stock Exchange witnesses any uncertainty, if they say today that we don't know if Obama is going to come to work tomorrow, there will be economic reverberations, there will be earthquake all over the place. Bring it in a very minor scale. How can you plan your life when you don't know if there is going to be power to iron your shirt to go to work or not? You don't know if you're going to have light to be able to read or not. You cannot do anything. Let people in America understand, and everybody listening to Radio Biafra this evening, that we don't have the things that people take for granted in the Western world. We don't have electricity. You don't know when it's going to come. Sometimes they take it is for 2, 3, 4, 5 months, there is no electricity. How can people be expected to function properly in such a society?
Yes, that's what the situation is. And in fact, during the colloquium and day of tributes for Chinua Achebe, a speaker, I can't recall his name, he said that Government College of Omoa was an embarrassment. That let him tell the Abia State government that very soon people will be coming on tourism at Government College of Omoa. They will come to see what produced the literary giant Chinua Achebe, and when they come there, it will be a very big embarrassment. The buildings are in shambles. Even where we had that colloquium, it was only one portable generator that was generating electricity to power the musical equipment of the school band. Nothing more, nothing less. The fans were not working.
Where were this particular event held? Where in Government College did this event happen?
It was held in the Assembly Hall, the school Assembly Hall.
In the Assembly Hall, okay, opposite the admin building. When we were there, the floor on the Assembly Hall were made of wood tiles because it was built by Robert Fisher, a Scottish man, eventually. Incidentally, I must say, did you go past my house? I was in cousin's house. The last time I went there, there were grass growing all over the place where my bed used to be. There is grass now growing there. Did you go past cousin's house? Have they rebuilt it?
Let me tell you, cousin's house has been abandoned. William House abandoned. This new school house built across from Simpson House.
Yes.
I just went to William House and Simpson House, quite abandoned, and people use them as toilet facilities right now.
People are using new house behind Kent House, in front of Niger House, and the other side of Simpson House as a place to go for to ease themselves.
Yeah, see what happened is that a new house has been abandoned a long time ago. They made schoolhouse into new house. Then they built a new schoolhouse about 8 years ago. They're going towards the principal house, towards the Fisher Center that has been abandoned.
Fisher Center also abandoned?
Yeah, also abandoned. You know, you not even see any single human life there. Totally abandoned. It was never painted. For the amount of money they said they spent in setting up the Fisher Center, it's an embarrassment.
So, but who is responsible for that education? Who is responsible for government college for funding that very school? Is it the state education board or is it a federal institution? What on earth is going on? Who is responsible for maintaining government college Omuahia that produced the likes of Chinua Achebe amongst many greats that attended government college Omuahia? So, what on earth is going on? Why is it in that state?
Myself, I'm an old boy of Government College of Omuahia. That's why I'm describing the buildings, you know, very well. I know very much what is happening. One Onukogo, an old boy, he spoke eloquently at the curriculum. He spoke very, very well, but he made one mistake. The mistake he made was, instead of, you know, having a meeting with our old boys, both at home and in the diaspora, on how to tackle the plight of the decay of the school. He didn't do that. You know, at the end of his presentation, he said that Abia State government should allow the old boys to run Government College of Omuahia. You know, that way the school can be reconstructed. Then what happened was that then the deputy governor of Abia State, representing the governor himself, you know, just lambasted everybody. I was raising my hand to speak. I just said, protocol, you know, we could not say anything until after he left. Then what the deputy governor now said was that other schools, I think he used the CKC or one other school, what their old boys did in reconstructing the school, that our old boys should also do the same thing, you know, and not wait for the government to come and rebuild the school 100% for us.
So
okay. Then,
it's incredible.
Then, in fact, what Onukogu would have done was to let people know, and in fact, one speaker also, an old boy, made that clear after the governor, you know, had left. You know, he said that the state government should make Government College Omuahia open to everybody, both in Nigeria and outside Nigeria, just as it was when we were there. Anybody can attend Government College Omuahia, but right now it is made a state school, Abia State School. Only Abia indigenous can attend Government College Omuahia. The question is, how do you expect an old boy from outside Abia State to come and help in the reconstruction of Government College Omuahia, whereas his children cannot attend the school? Even Chinua Achebe, that was celebrated at Government College Omuahia, his grandchildren cannot attend Government College Omuahia because he is from Anambra State.
Or even Kensere Wiwa went to the same school as we did. He was at Government College. He schooled at Government College. So it's not just Achebe. Kensere Wiwa as well was at Government College. Another writer, of some, of course, repute, you know, so as some people recognize him as such. Now, the difficulty is this. Ask your deputy governor, who said that we, the owners, should come back and rebuild Common College, Omuaha. Ask him. The schools that they send their children to abroad, is it the old boys that are maintaining the school, or is it the school? Do they know the meaning of education? This is why things are so bad. The people we are voting to be in power do not even understand what they're supposed to be doing. He doesn't know the meaning of education. Education is more important. Education and health are the two critical sectors of any society. And the worst part of it is that they are getting money and funding from UNESCO. They are collecting money from the EU. They are collecting money from funds all over the world, from grants, to fund education system in that zoo called Nigeria, which unfortunately we happen to find ourselves in. They have now allowed Government College to run down to the extent where I stayed and schooled and studied and molded me. Cousin's house doesn't exist anymore. Schoolhouse is gone, as you're saying. Warren House doesn't exist. I don't know what's happening to Niger House, if Niger House is still there or not. Nobody is even telling us what is happening to Erekosima House. Nobody. Everything that inside Government College is like a mini London. It's like
Britain. Only four houses that are being used now. The rest are abandoned.
It's incredible. So life is as difficult. That is why we want Biafra, so that people understand common sense. Government College used to take in students or from every part of the world. People send their kids from Switzerland. I remember Amechichi Idiofong. We fagged the same magi together. Awomuku, who was the vice captain of Cousin's house. The parents sent him from Switzerland to come back to study at Government College Omuaha. That is how bad things are, that we've gotten to. That is why these termites, I don't know where they come from. These people, when we say that people are incapable of reasoning, when we say that sometimes when white people or Europeans or Americans describe us as monkeys, I can see where they're coming from. These people are not fit to exist as humans. To allow a great institution that Chinua Achebe went to drink a cup to run down to the extent whereby nothing was functioning is atrocious. We used to have music room where the music came from. Maybe the band that you said that played. We used to have music room. We studied music in school. We had everything going at Government College. It was a mini paradise. Now they have allowed it to be run down to the extent that are now asking old boys to start donating £1 or £2 or $3 to go and start rebuilding Government College Omuaha. It's very sad. Thank you very much for joining us this evening, Carol. That is a very notable and worthwhile in from United States of America. Phoning in a Biafran of great honor and repute, and he's been doing a lot. In fact, the composer of the signature song "All Hail Biafra," he composed it. He's now on the line speaking because we attended the same school together, as well as Chinua Achebe and Ken Sarawi and a few other people. I don't know. Did Sipa Nekwensi go to Government College of Omuaha as well? That wrote essays to school. Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
Did Sipa Nekwensi, I'm not too sure, no Sipa Nekwensi that wrote
a... No, he wasn't there. He wasn't there.
Maybe
he
was.
Your question whether he was there at the event.
Okay. Now, Government College Omuaha, these are the principal schools that you had, the A-grade schools that we had. Government College Omuaha, CKC on Nature, DMGS in Onitsha, Nike Grammar School, Methodist College, Ozakole, National High School, Aba, Bishop Shahan as well. Which other one is it again? And of course, Agri Memorial. I remember Agri Memorial. And also...
Methodist School, Ozakole.
Yeah, Methodist Ozakole. Of course, I've mentioned Methodist Ozakole. Agri Memorial. Okay. Which other one is it? And then Hope Waddle in Calabar. Hope Waddle Institute in Calabar as well was part of it. And then Stella Maris. Government College Afibo. That is correct. Stella Maris Grammar School. No, Okreka Grammar School and Stella Maris in Port Harcourt. These are the great A-grade schools that we had that produced the finest brains ever. Now look at it, it's all crumbling because people who do not appreciate the importance of education, people who are ill-tutored, are the ones in charge. That is why things are the way they are. Thank you very much for calling us. You've given us a very big perspective and insight into the crumbling education system that we have, courtesy of Nigeria. In the new Biafra, we will have a far more credible, far more formidable, far more better, well-run education system than the nonsense that we have now, because we understand what education means and what it has given to us. We want to give that back to society. Thank you very much for calling, and God bless you. Thank you. Yes, that was what our life is like, where we come from. Things are, so the school that your children are going to, is it the people that left the school many years ago that are coming back to rebuild the school?
Coming back to no. The government looks after the school, and then we fund the school through different events to help to uplift it, because the government is cutting on schools at the moment because of the budgets. But I'm listening to the gentleman, and his perspective is a real eye-opener for me. I mean, what is the Nigerian government doing? They should be absolutely ashamed of themselves. If that would never happen here, if the government ran the country like that, not looking after education and health, they would be out. There would be no president. He'd be gone, because he should be ashamed of himself. He's spending the money that the people are sending from around the world on nonsense like Beyonce concerts and having Kim Kardashian for half an hour in Lagos for $500,000. Where's that money? They could have used that money and rebuilt their schools. The schools where they have got world-renowned, celebrated authors, this gentleman, the composer, all these renowned people across the world. These are the people that
and me, of course.
Bring business. Well, but these people, when they're renowned across the world, highlights your country. And then this brings in investors. So they're actually turning away people away from Nigeria in the long run, because they're not educating their children. They're not bringing up the next generation, so to speak. So they're killing themselves anyway. They're crushing your country left, right and centre. There's nobody. You worry about what people will come inside from outside to invest. But why would they do come in and outside to invest when the government that you have is destroying you?
Don't even understand the meaning of investment to start with. If you're listening, please, this is Radio Biafra, a very special program. We're not taking your calls. We do apologize for that, for the simple reason that Radio Biafra will be coming live to the world tomorrow from Jerusalem, the Holy Land of Jerusalem, the dwelling place of God himself. We will be broadcasting from Jerusalem by this time tomorrow, 7 p.m. London time. Everything we are doing is geared towards London time, because this is the principal base of the main broadcasting outfit of Radio Biafra. So we are welcoming you. If you're joining us, please go and tell your friends and family. Announce it on Facebook. We've been announcing this. Nobody seems to be listening. That we want people to join us on Facebook. We've been saying that. Let's go to the line now. Please give us your name and where you are, please. Hello? Hello? Can you hear us? This is Radio Biafra. They have gone. I was so crying.
Yeah, there's a baby, I think, in the back.
A baby was crying. Please take care of the child. Maybe it was the child that didn't make them to concentrate. Yes, if you're joining us, as we were saying, that this is Radio Biafra, we're coming to you from London. We are reporting this evening that the body of a renowned author and icon, Chinua Achebe, made it safely to Awka in our land where we come from. Let's try and take this call. This is Radio Biafra. Please, your name and where you are calling from. Yes, go ahead. We are on air at the moment. What would you like to say? Gani hook when you try to come and land on Nikuku.
Gani. Okay, because it's about 8 p.m. and I'm here and I'm waiting alive every day. Right?
7 p.m.
Okay, I'm here. Right?
Yes, Nigerian time, 7 p.m. Nigerian time, yes.
Okay, every day?
Every blessed day, yes, 7 p.m. Yes, every day, yes.
Okay. Because I am coming to the camera.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, bye. Yes, they're wanting to know the time. A lot of people are enthusiastic and they're very, very interested. Let us go back to what can we do? You said you've been in touch with a lot of women. We want you to tell us what you've been doing all this while. You've been working away for Biafra, of course, taking care of your family and other things as well. But you've managed to find time to serve Biafra. What have you been doing? You mentioned somebody in Switzerland and a few other ladies who would want to get in touch with you. And, of course, some people are sending in messages saying, please, can Carol try and be in touch with us? Let us go and try and take this call. We know we said we're going. This is Radio Biafra. We're on air at the moment. I don't know. Do you want us to call you back? Do you have sufficient credit on your phone to speak to us?
No. I don't. Maybe you should call me back.
So we will try.
I
and
speak to tell you that I was going out.
Okay. No problem. We will try and get back at you, because we want to hear what you've been doing about Biafra, what you have been doing in support of Biafra. That is a lady. We want to speak to the ladies, especially this evening, to find out what they have been doing. I have with me here Carol Karamonde, who's been serving Biafra in truth and honesty all this while, diligently. And there are other people also serving Biafra in various capacities. So we want to find out. Please, once again, can you hear us? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear
you. Yeah, please go ahead and...
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Give us your name again and where you are.
My name is Mwala Ozioma. I'm in Lagos right now.
Mwala Ozioma, you're in Lagos. You speak as if you're... Did you come back from abroad? You're speaking like a European, somebody from United States or maybe Europe.
Really, that's how I speak. I didn't come. I've never been there.
Okay. Yes, what have you been doing for Biafra? What do you do? What have you been doing for Biafra? We want to understand why somebody like you would devote your time to serve your country. A young woman, I don't know why you're not interested in handbags and shoes and having fashion shows, because every girl in Nigeria is a model. So are you also a model?
A model?
Yeah, everybody is a model. Everybody, nobody goes to work. Everybody is a model. Like how men are all politicians. Nobody wants to go and do anything meaningful.
No, I'm not a model. I'm more of a scholar. So
you're a scholar. That is what we like at Radio Biafra, people who think, intellectuals. You're a scholar. We are very, very grateful for that. There was even one that wrote a poem on Radio Biafra Facebook group, which is quite interesting to see that that is what Radio Biafra does. It brings out the finest brains, both men and women, boys and girls, to come to serve their country in honesty. What have you been doing and what motivated you to devote your time towards service to your country? Not NYSC. I'm talking about Biafra.
No, Biafra, of course. Biafra, my homeland. Well, I was motivated because growing up in school, we were never really taught about Biafra or the Civil War or the struggle for the emancipation of the Igbo people. But growing up, definitely you pick some nuances, because my father is the kind of person that believes in Biafra. He believes in Biafra. So growing up, I was able to pick up the nuances, and I noticed that the Igbos are treated more like third-class citizens. In everything, the Igbo man will always be considered the last. So growing up, I was able to discover that seriously, in this country, we are marginalized. And being who I am, I don't like anybody taking me for granted or marginalizing me or treating me like I don't matter. So this created in me the need to join, because I've been hearing about the emancipation of Biafra, and it created in me the need to join the course in any capacity that I can. So for now, I just finished school. I just graduated from the university. So for now, I'm basically trying to get my friends interested in the course. And recently, I just realized that the best thing to do, because the youth of this generation are more like, we are more interested. From what I can gather, we are more interested in the course than the older generation. Maybe probably because they've experienced something in the past. But I realize that the youth, for us to really achieve this, we have to reach out to the youth. So what I've been thinking recently is to try going to maybe the higher institutions to reach out to the high schools of maybe the Igbo Association, the Association of Igbo Students in the school. I want to start with UNILAG or LASU, because right now I'm in Lagos. Then also, I've been writing some articles, some very motivational articles for the Igbo people. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Thank you very much. That is very good. In terms of the people around you, in terms of the friends. Sorry, Carol, do you have any questions to ask her?
No, I was just thinking about the marginalizing. Because in this country, if you are not given a job or something because of your race or because you're a woman, even over a man, or because of, say, you're Igbo instead of Nigerian, it's a crime. It's a serious crime. You get prosecuted for that, and the person would have to pay out a fine if they were found this to be true.
So you're talking in terms of if there is any sort of what sort of recompense, or does it have any recourse to law to try to address the issue of marginalization? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, in individually in this country, marginalization is a crime.
It is a crime, we know that, yeah, because you can't go out and somebody will say, oh, I won't give you a job because you're a black person. No, that person will go to prison. We know that for sure.
But like she's saying, that she's growing up with this, that's like a common, like it's common.
It's common, yes.
It's normal.
Yeah, it is normal, yes. To discriminate and to put down Igbo people is a favorite pastime of most people. That's what they love doing.
Every day I'm listening to everybody and they're talking, and it's an education. Every day something surprises me more and more that you can live like this.
It is terrible, but she hasn't accepted it. She's not going to live like this. She's doing something about it. Are you saying, there was something you said, Ozioma, which is very interesting for me. Are you saying that these people your age, young women of your age, that they are more, are you saying that they are more, the young people of your age are more interested in Biafra than older generation?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. From what I can gather, yes. It's very obvious. The youth are more interested. Because we are the ones affected. Actually, if you look at it, we are the future generation. And if we are being marginalized, we are not allowed to do anything in this country called Nigeria. Definitely, we have to take the bulls by the horn. So, I feel that we are more interested in this course. Yes.
But from the discussions you've had, even during your uni days, because you've just only recently graduated, even from your university days, from the discussions you've had with people. What, in effect, I mean, what sort of vibes were you getting from your friends? What sort of interest were you getting from them?
Well, I wouldn't say interest because, like I told you, they don't like really teaching about, we don't have any course, even in the history courses, you're not really taught about the Biafran war or the Biafran struggle. It's like they kind of suppress. They don't want to get anybody interested in it. That is what I realized. So, I wouldn't really say most people are interested.
Yes, okay.
I suppose.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we're listening.
Yeah, because I schooled in a South University of Port Harcourt, so you wouldn't really, it's not an everyday topic, you understand? It's for people like us who are interested.
So okay.
I don't think, yeah.
So you will continue to support Radio Biafra in all the efforts that we are making to ensure that the gospel that we are preaching gets to everybody, every young woman and every young man, because your generation is it is the generation that we're counting on to get things moving in the right direction. So so you're saying to the whole worldwide listeners of Radio Biafra, who number in their millions, that you and the likes of yourself will do everything within your power to support the effort towards the realization of Biafra in truth and honesty in the not too distant future. Okay. Thank you very much for joining us this evening, and we are very grateful to you for what you have done. Radio Biafra will be coming from Israel tomorrow. You go and announce it to your friends and tell them to join Radio Biafra on Facebook. You're on Facebook already, I presume, and you write on Facebook as well.
Yes,
Radio Biafra, good. Also,
yes.
Please get your friends. You have invited your friends, isn't it? You've invited your friends to Facebook. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
I can hear you now.
Yeah. The line was a bit unstable a while ago. I said, have you invited all your friends to Facebook? I think we've lost them. The line is gone. So at least she's doing something. This is somebody doing something.
She's coming forward with the knowledge. It surprises me that, like, I can understand that the rest of the world doesn't know about Biafran history and the civil war, etc. But she's saying that it's being subdued even there in Nigeria. And yesterday I was talking to a gentleman in Abuja, and he was saying in the capital, and he was saying that they don't know anything about Biafra up there. That it's really suppressed so much. You know, and that it makes them so angry, they just want to go out and kill somebody.
They just want to.
The Igbo man that I was talking to.
Yes, of course, you can imagine how frustrating it can be.
He's not being recognized.
No, not at all. And again, the program that we're bringing you this evening is slightly truncated. It is normally we'll present you a program for 2 hours or even more than 2 hours. But today it is only going to be just for an hour. But we can assure you that from tomorrow, we'll resume normal service, 2 hours, even plus. We will make it up to you. The time that we are losing today by tomorrow, we ought to be able to make it up to you. So we are very grateful to everyone who has listened and will continue to listen to Radio Biafra, to say that Radio Biafra is coming to you from Israel, the Holy Land itself, and from the throne of God tomorrow at 7 p.m. London time. Please, any numbers that we'll be using to bring Radio Biafra will be advertised in due course. I have been here with Carol, who's been served. But Carol, I mean, by way of encouragement, you're not Igbo yourself. You're not black. You're not African. And Ozioma, of course, is a bona fide Igbo daughter. Two of you are working very hard. So is Zini, the young girl called Zini Eziada, also doing her best, doing her very best to be part of what Radio Biafra represents. What other words of encouragement can you give to other women to come out? Because we need as many women as possible to come out so that what we are doing will have that kind of maternal authenticity to it. Because wherever there are women in this instance, we mustn't forget the role that Winnie Mandela played in the liberation of South Africa. If not for Winnie Mandela, I do strongly believe that the struggle would have suffered. But because it had a woman strong and present throughout that period, the struggle was successful. How important is it that other women listening to yourself, listening to Ozioma, were able to come out to say, yes, I want to be a part of this?
I think it's very important. I think because I myself have been contacted by young girls in Lagos and in Biafra land that have said, you know, you're giving us hope. Their fathers were in the civil war, etc., and they're suffering down there, and yet they somehow have got through either emailing or through Facebook and have said, you know, you actually give hope. And now I've spoken to lots of other white women across Europe now that want to come forward, and this is something I want to encourage, because women actually give hope, I think, more than men.
Women do, of course, that's what I'm saying. So, yeah. If not for Wanda Marachi, I'm sure that Radio Biafra editorial board would have gone the way that most of the other
everything is changing. Project. I think we can see it's starting to change here in Radio Biafra London. We can see the effects that it's having, the amount of people that are coming in, what people are saying to us. You know, we're actually getting cyber stalkers now. This is sometimes, I think, we have some problems with the internet. It's because of cyber stalkers. And, you know, we're getting people now doing horrible messages on Facebook. You know, I'm asking myself, I'm hoping that they are trying to justify their own lies in their heads, because they must have, you know, some conscience to come on Facebook to try and irritate us. So I'm really glad that we're provoking them. We'll keep provoking them, because what we will do is we will stand up to them. You know, like when an animal attacks you, even if it's a shark, you look it in the face, and then when it comes to you,
you try and fight back.
No, you just stare it in the face, and it will go away. If a shark, if you stand in front of a shark and punch it on the nose, the shark will run away. Do you know this?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a true fact. If you don't run away and start splashing around in the water and panic,
it will come after you.
It will go after you if you panic and splash around. It will eat you. But if you stand there and punch it on the nose, or stay still and punch it on the nose, how you can stand in the water? But
it'll go away.
It'll go away. And this is what we have to do with Nigeria. We have to stand up and punch it in the nose.
Exactly. Punch that, all those people in the nose. Yes. This is Radio Biafra. Please give us your name and where you are. Hello? This is Radio Biafra. We weren't connecting. We were trying to speak to a young lady as well who is into... There's quite a few of them. You said a lot of people have been contacting you. Yes, and on this point this evening, we bring the program to an end. We thank all of you for listening, wherever you may have been in the world today. As we said, we do apologize for the very short, truncated nature of this program today. It is because we are preparing to be able to bring you the word of liberation, the word of God itself, which is what Radio Biafra preaches, is the gospel. The liberation of the people of Biafra is a biblical edict. It is direct from God himself. Because had God not wanted us to be free, we are saying today that the Israelites would have still been in bondage. But lo and behold, they are free. And we also have to be free. So we'll be speaking with spiritual authority tomorrow from the Holy Land of Israel. And please, whatever you do, tell your friends, tell your family, everybody should congregate around their system tomorrow. Congregate around any internet-enabled device tomorrow, 7 p.m. London time, not 7 p.m. Israeli time. 7 p.m. London time. We'll be bringing you Radio Biafra from the Holy Land itself. I'm Onamde Kanu from London. We are signing off this evening. Please, I'm Carol.
Goodbye, everyone.
And from me, it is goodbye and God bless you wherever you are. Please do not forget to keep spreading the message about the redemption of Biafra. Do not relent. Do not retreat. Do not surrender, because at Radio Biafra, we are not going to do that either. We will not retreat. We will not surrender. Biafra or death. Thank you for listening and God bless you.
Ibi mena no mo wagasilele.